This morning we'd like to draw your attention to 1 Kings chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. 1 Kings 14, beginning with verse 1. When Solomon was still king over Israel, the Lord spoke to a prophet by the name of Ahijah to go to Jeroboam and to take his robe and to rip it into 12 pieces and to give 10 pieces to Jeroboam and say to him, "The Lord is going to tear the kingdom from Solomon and you are going to receive 10 of the tribes and you will be king over 10 of the tribes, and I will leave for David but 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin." When Solomon heard what was done, he began to pursue after Jeroboam, who fled for safety to Egypt. At the death of Solomon, Jeroboam was called back to Israel. And when the son of Solomon, Rehoboam, ascended to the throne, the people from the northern kingdom came to him and said, "Look, your dad was too tough on us. The taxes that he excised against us were just too great. We want relief. We want you to relieve us from the tax burdens, that they not be as heavy, and we'd like better treatment." Rehoboam, listening to his young counselors, came back to them and said, "You haven't seen anything yet. You think my dad was tough. You wait until you see what we're going to do." So the people from the northern tribe said, "Hey, why should we be obedient unto Judah?" And so they rebelled against the kingdom, and they asked Jeroboam to be king over them. So Jeroboam became king of Israel, the northern 10 tribes. But he reasoned that if the people continue to go back to Jerusalem 3 times a year to worship God in these feasts, as they see the glory of the temple and the worship, their hearts will be drawn back to King Rehoboam and they'll kill me. So he set up 2 altars with images of calves in the northern kingdom, one in Dan and one in Bethel. And he said to the people, "These are the gods that led you out of Egypt." And he inaugurated the worship of these false gods there in the northern kingdom. Now, when he was worshiping at the altar in Bethel, God sent a young man from Judah to cry out against the altar. And so as he was kneeling before the altar, this young fellow came in and cried, "O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, a king shall rise whose name is Josiah, and he is going to destroy this altar, and he is going to desecrate this altar. He'll burn bones on it. And in order that you may know that it is God that has spoken, the altar is going to split even now, and the ashes are going to pour out." And the altar split, and the ashes poured out. And Jeroboam cried, "Arrest that man." And as he put out his hand, it withered. He lost the use of it. And so he said to the young prophet, "Please pray to your God for me that he'll restore the use of my hand." And the young man prayed for a Jeroboam, and God restored the use of his hand. We now come to chapter 14, verse 1. "And at that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, became gravely sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, 'Arise, I pray you, disguise yourself that you will not be known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and go to Shiloh. For behold, the prophet Ahijah is there, the one that told me that I would be king over these people.' and take with you 10 loaves and cracknels and a cruse of honey and go to him, and he shall tell you what will become of our child. And Jeroboam's wife did so, and she arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were blinded by reason of his age. But the Lord had said to Ahijah, "Behold, the wife of Jeroboam is coming to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. And this is what you're to say to her. For it shall be when she comes in that she's going to feign herself to be another woman." And so it was so, when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came to the door, he said, "Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why are you disguising yourself to be someone else? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings." Often man seeks God in the time of trouble. Jeroboam was in trouble. His son Abijah was deathly ill. Abijah was probably the oldest son and thus the heir apparent to the throne. And all were concerned with this illness of Abijah. And so Jeroboam sent his wife to the prophet of God to inquire concerning what was to become of their son Abijah. It is interesting that when he was in trouble, that he sought to the living God. He was the one who set up these images and these altars to the false gods. He was the one who led the people to worship these false gods, gods that he had created. He said, "These are the gods that you should serve. These are the gods that delivered you from Israel." But when he's in trouble, he knows that there is no help in those gods. And he seeks the help of the true and the living God. David spoke of the gods of the heathen that cannot see, that cannot hear, that cannot talk. And these were the kind of gods that he had set up, and he knew good and well that there was no help in these gods that he had made for the people. A lot of times people today are worshiping gods of their own creation, materialistic gods. People are worshiping material things, materialism, philosophies. Gods that, when you're really in trouble, can't help you. Gods which cannot speak. Gods which cannot help. It is quite possible that the sickness of his son was from the Lord, God endeavoring to speak to him. God had spoken to him earlier in his career. God had warned him before. He had not listened to the warnings of God. When the young prophet came and cried out against the altar, and when he stretched out his hand against the prophet and the hand withered, he said, "Pray to your God for me that he might heal me. Heal my withered hand." And the young man prayed, and God answered and healed. And yet he did not turn from his wickedness. He continued in the evil practices. And so God is speaking to him again, only this time in harsher tone, as his son is sick and not expected to live. God oftentimes speaks to us through tragedies. Tragedies that he allows in order that we might listen to his voice. He is now wanting again to hear from God. "God, what are you saying?" And he sends his wife to discover what God might say about the future of the child. So many times, when God speaks to us through our children, it really gets us deep in our hearts. I don't know of anything that is harder to endure than the sickness or the suffering of your own child. How you wish that somehow you might be able to just trade places with them, that you could experience the fever, that you could experience the pain and the misery, because they're so little, they're so fragile, they're so helpless. And you just want to do something for them, but you feel so totally helpless when the child is sick. The brightness has gone out of their eyes. And there's just that dull look, and you think, oh God, you know, if I could only suffer for them or take their place. And how we cry out to God, because we realize that God is the one that has to help them. I'm so helpless. There's nothing I can do to alleviate their fever or their suffering. And God is the one, and we cry out unto God in times like that, because God is able many times to speak to us through the suffering of our own children. And God was speaking to Jeroboam now through his child. Now, God would rather speak to us in very soft tones. God would rather speak to us through the still small voice. But if we don't listen to the still small voice, then God will thunder if necessary, because the issues of which God wishes to speak to us are eternal issues, and it is so important that we hear him, that if necessary, he will become more severe. God said through the Psalm 32, I want to guide you with my eye. So don't be like a mule or a horse that you have to put a bit in its mouth in order to guide it. What God is saying is, be sensitive. I will guide your life. Just be sensitive. I don't want to use painful processes to guide you, but if necessary, I will. But don't be like a mule that requires the bit in its mouth, the painful process in order to be led, but to just be more sensitive and open to the voice and to the leading of God. And God would much prefer it that way. But if we are not sensitive and open to the voice of God and to the leading of the Spirit of God, then God in his love for us will speak to us in harsher tones. And God is speaking to Jeroboam through the deathly illness of his child. Jeroboam seeks God, but not honestly. This is true of many people today. There is a seeking of God, but it isn't really an honest seeking of God. He asked his wife to disguise herself, that she might look like a peasant woman, that she might take the gifts of a peasant woman, the bread, the loaves of bread, and the jar of honey to the prophet, that he might tell her what would become of her child. Little did he realize how unnecessary the disguise would be. All of this clever makeup and dress is totally unnecessary, because the old man is blind. His cataracts are covering his eyes. He can't see anyhow. And so all of this endeavor for this clever disguise is really not necessary. The prophet of God is blind, but yet he's not deaf. And he can hear the voice of God. And God spoke to Ahijah the prophet and said, Jeroboam is sending his wife. She's disguised so that she won't appear to be the queen. This is what you're to tell her. And so God gave the message to Ahijah to deliver unto the wife of Jeroboam. Imagine her surprise as she was standing there on the porch, probably just sort of fixing herself and making sure that everything looked deceptive and all, and surely he'll not know. And as she knocks on the door from inside, she hears this old voice saying, come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. How come you've dressed up to look like someone else? Oh, how foolish it is to think that we can deceive God, that we can hide the truth from God. And yet there are so many people that just have that kind of deception. They think that because they have been able to fool others, that they can also fool God. But in reality, when you are in that position, it isn't God that's fooled, you're the one that's fooled. God isn't deceived, you're the one that's deceived. The Bible said, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. You're not fooling God. God knows the truth about each of us. And though we may do many things to hide the truth, and we look around at men who are endeavoring so hard to hide the truth about themselves, God sees right through all of the disguises because he sees our hearts and he knows what's going on inside. We read in the New Testament where the woman at the well tried to sort of hide the truth from Jesus. She flippantly said to Jesus when he talked to her about the water that he could give, that she had never thirsted again. She flippantly said, oh, all right, I'll take some of this water. I don't have to come out here then every day and draw out of the well. And Jesus said, well, first go call your husband. She said, I don't have any husband. And Jesus said, well, I guess that's in a sense true. Inasmuch as you have had five husbands, and this last fellow you didn't marry, you just moved in, and you're living with him. So I guess it's true that you don't have a husband. And suddenly she realized that she wasn't fooling Jesus at all. He saw right through her. And she ran into the village and she said, come and meet a man who told me everything I've ever done. A man who could see right through my little disguise. A man who could see right through to my heart. A man that I didn't deceive. I couldn't fool him. He knew everything about me. Many times the Pharisees would come with questions for Jesus, and they would act like they were really interested in knowing a particular truth, but in reality, their questions were designed to trap Jesus. And the Bible says he knew their hearts. He knew what was going on. God knows your heart. He knows what's going on. You can't hide anything from him. He sees right through the mask that we so often wear. Ananias and Sapphira, in the book of Acts, had sold their possession. And they brought a portion of it to lay at the apostles' feet. And Peter said to Ananias, is that what you sold your property for? And he says, yep. Peter said, why have you conspired in your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? While you owned the property, it was yours. You didn't have to sell it. No one required you to sell it. And after you sold it, no one required that you give the money. Why would you come under the guise of giving everything to God when you're really holding back? Behold, the young men here are going to carry you out. And Ananias fell over dead. And the young men came in, wrapped his body, carried him out and buried him. Later, his wife came in, and Peter said, is that what you sold the property for? And she said, yep. And he said, how come you and your husband got together with this lie? The same young men that carried him out will carry you out. And she fell over dead. And God was protecting the purity of the early church, protecting it from that horrible, ugly sin that has been a menace to the church, the sin of hypocrisy, pretending to be something you're really not. Putting on a disguise and trying to appear to people to be more righteous or more holy than you really are. When God sees right through to the heart and he knows what's going on within your life, it's foolish to try to disguise yourself when you come to God. In fact, God cannot deal with the issues of your life until you're honest with God. And how important that when we come to God, we be totally honest with God. Not try to hide the truth or disguise the truth, but be totally honest. And when we are, then God can deal with the issues of our life. Until then, nothing really God can do. As long as you think that you're deceiving God, as knowing God, there's nothing God can do for you. It's not until you become just really honest. But you see, we don't like to reveal the truth about ourselves to God. We would like to have him think better of us than we really are. I know that God wants me to love everybody, but there are some people I can't stand. I mean, their personalities are so adverse to mine and all that, yuck. They make me sick. And so when I come to God, I say, Father, I thank you that you've given so much love to me, that I just have this great love for just about everyone, but Lord, I'm lacking a little bit in love for this one person. So would you help me, Lord, and increase my love for them in order that I might be perfect, you know, in my love? Now that isn't honest. I've got a disguise on. If I want to be honest, I should come to God and say, God, I hate them. I can't stand them, Lord. They make me sick. God, I can't do anything about it. I just flat hate them. But Lord, I know that you don't want me to hate. And so help me, Lord. Change my attitude towards them. Take away the bitterness and the hatred that I have. And if I'm honest with God, then God can deal with it. And God will deal with it. But as long as I'm just trying to, you know, look sort of good with, and I, you know, I'm really very nice. I only need just a little shove and I'll be perfect, you know. God can't help me. So important that I not try to come to God with some kind of a disguise, because that is what hypocrisy is all about. The word comes from the Greek word hypocrite, which were the people who wore these or had these big masks, and the Hebrew, I mean, in the Grecian drama and so forth, behind these big masks, and the mask was to hide the true identity of the person. And thus we get the word hypocrite, a person who is wearing a mask. God can't deal with you wearing the mask. And so they came to God, but not honestly, but God saw right through the disguise. The prophet said to her, I am come to you with heavy tidings. The Bible has some pretty heavy tidings for those who forsake the true and the living God. Jeroboam had forsaken God. He had led the people in the worship of these idols. And God has heavy tidings for people who forsake him and establish other centers of worship or other gods within their lives. Heavy tidings for that man who makes pleasure his God. Heavy tidings for that man who makes the material possessions his God. You know, God is, as we read in the psalm, gracious, full of compassion, very tolerant. He doesn't force himself upon us. He doesn't force you to worship him. If you want to worship other gods, he will let you worship other gods. If you want to go in your own path, he'll let you go in your own path. If you don't want to walk in his light, he's not going to force you to walk in his light. God will honor your desire and your choice. And if you desire to live apart from God and walk in darkness, God will honor that choice and allow you to live apart from him and allow you to walk in darkness, but he's got some pretty heavy tidings for you. For God will not only honor your request now, but he'll honor it eternally. And for those who choose to walk in darkness, there is reserved that darkness forever, the scripture says. Those who choose to live separately from God shall be separated from God throughout eternity. Heavy tidings for those who would forsake the ways of the Lord to worship the gods of their own creation, the gods of their own hands. Heavy tidings in the Bible. For those who would seek to come to God with some kind of a disguise, those who would try to cover the truth and to deceive God. And oh, how many times the Bible warns concerning hypocrisy. I sometimes look at the early church in the case of Ananias and Sapphira, and honestly, I'm a little thankful that God isn't so severe today. I'm afraid many of our churches would be decimated if God dealt with us as he dealt with the early church in the area of hypocrisy, and every hypocrite would suddenly... Heavy tidings. You may fool man, but you're not fooling God. God sees and knows your heart, and he knows the issues of your life. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, nor is he fooled by your disguises. You know, I cannot help but wonder how this story would have ended had Jeroboam repented and sought God in truth. When his son became deathly ill, Jeroboam was seeking the Lord, but the wrong way. Interesting, he wasn't sending for the help and the healing of the child. He was only sending to find out what's going to happen to the child. But I wonder what would have happened had, when the child became deathly sick, Jeroboam said, "Oh God, I realize that I've done a horrible thing. I've turned away from you. I've knelt before these other altars and worshiped these other gods, and they can't help me. I know only you can help me. God, forgive me. God, I'm sorry. Lord, touch my child and heal my child. And I will lead the people to worship you." Knowing that God is gracious and full of compassion, I cannot help but believe that had he truly repented and sought the Lord in the truth, that God would have touched and healed little Abijah and would have established his throne forever. But such was not to be. As his wife knocked on the door, the prophet said, "Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why are you trying to look like someone else? Why are you feigning to be someone else? I have heavy tidings for you." He said, "When you get home, the moment you step through the gates of the city, your child will die. Not only that, God is going to cut off all of the descendants of Jeroboam. There's not going to be one left alive. Those that are killed in the city, the dogs will eat, and those that are killed in the fields, the fowls of the heaven will eat, and I will cut off the remembrance of Jeroboam and his family from among the tribes of Israel." Heavy tidings indeed. But they weren't necessary. It didn't have to be. It was because when God was dealing with his life, he wouldn't be honest with God. And thus, he left God no alternative but to judge. God speaks to us and deals with us in many different ways. And it's quite possible that some of you are here today because God has been dealing with your life. You've been going through some really heavy experiences, some real tragedies. And you decided that you would go to church to see if God might speak to you there. Some of you may have come with disguises. You carried your Bible so everyone would think, "Oh, look, you know, one of the family." But God knows your heart. And if you will seek the Lord with your heart, with all of your heart, you can find God's help today. And rather than heavy tidings, I have good tidings for you. The Lord's been waiting for you. And he loves you. And he wants to help you. And he allowed all of these things to happen just to get your attention so that you would turn your life over to him. Because he is interested in the eternal welfare of your life. And thus he's allowed the momentary hardships to bring you to himself in order that you might experience the fullness of his love and power that he's wanting to bestow upon you. Heavy tidings from the Lord for those who come in hypocrisy, but for those who come with an honest heart seeking the help of God, hey, what glorious tidings I have for you. God will help you. And God will change the circumstances and turn them around. And God will make you his child. And you can know the joy and the glory and the blessing of walking in fellowship with God. And he'll take care of all of the issues of your life. So you're here. I trust that God has spoken to you. And the tidings are either heavy tidings or glorious tidings. But that's all where you're sitting. If you're sitting trying to deceive and disguise, God has nothing for you. But if your heart is open and you're sincerely seeking him, through the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord said, "And you shall seek me, and you shall find me in the day that you seek me with all of your heart." And if this day you're seeking God with all of your heart, you can be sure you will find him and his help. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for speaking to us. Your faithfulness, Lord, in dealing with us. Lord, even though at times perhaps we've ignored your voice, we've ignored the warnings, and Lord, you've become more severe until once again you have our attention. We want to hear, God, what you have to say. What you have to say concerning the future. Help us, Lord, that we come with an honest heart, with a repentant heart, ready to hear, ready to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're sincerely seeking the help of the Lord today, good tidings for you. He wants to help you and he will help you. He'll lift the heavy burden. The Bible says, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. And if you come today because of a problem, you didn't know where to turn, God drew you here, I'm glad. I'm glad you're here. And I pray that your heart will be honest before God, and I encourage you, go back to the prayer room, and you'll find that God will speak to you and God will help you, and things can be resolved and changed and turned around. He's more than ready and more than able to meet your need. If your heart isn't honest before God, if there is a hypocrisy, a disguise, a phoniness there, then not much more I can say to you. Unless you change, God has some pretty heavy tidings for you. Things aren't going to get better. They're going to get worse. But he only allows that because he loves you. He knows that the path you've chosen is destructive. He doesn't want to see you destroyed. And he's trying to stop you from destroying yourself. But you've got to become honest. You've got to be open with God. And I pray that you will be. May the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless you. May his hand be upon your life
to guide you, his Spirit upon you to empower you. And may you walk in his love and in the fellowship of the Spirit, in Jesus' name.